This is the world broadcast of Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Let his peace be unto you. I'll read in English our opening prayer. The name of this prayer is Al-Fatiha. It is the first chapter of the Holy Book of the Muslims, the Quran, or Quran, as Western people have called it. Quran is titled Al-Fatiha in Arabic, and in English, the opening, the opening. It has seven verses, and they read in English, from 1 through 7, in the name of God, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to God, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath and who go not astray. Amen. Now we will say in language of Quran. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in. Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. تعليم on today's studies with the reading of the chapter of the Quran titled The Expansion. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. First verse, have we not expanded for thee thy breath alam nashrah laka sadrak. Sadrak is a chest. Sadrak means chest or breath. And removed from thee thy burden, and removed from you your burden. Wa wada'na anka wizrak, and took off from you your load or your burden, wizrak, the which did weigh down, or that which weighed down your back, the which did gall thy back. This is old English. It's not written by Americans. It's written by people of old country, Europe. So we have this old English here, and it's difficult for the average person. So we will give it also in the regular language. And raise to high the esteem in which you are held. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. So verily, with every difficulty comes relief. And the next verse repeats that same statement in a slightly different way. Innama al-usri yusra. Verily, with every difficulty, there is relief. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. Therefore, when you are free from your immediate task, still labor hard. وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. And to thy Lord, turn all your attention. To thy Lord, turn all your attention. Now we will come back to this chapter that we have opened our Ta'aleem with. But for now, let us look at the meaning of jihad. You hear in the news of fighters that call themselves freedom fighters in the Middle East of the Muslims who are fighting Zionist occupation of their land and Zionist takeover of their land. This takeover of the Muslim land by the Zionists started as far as back as the middle 40s. Now, there's a word that is very important for all Muslims. It's called jihad. 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 This is the word, jihad. This word is translated by Muslims in various ways. When you hear in the news now, this meaning of jihad, holy war. Holy war. Holy war. In Arabic, the word for war is harb. Harb, not jihad. This word means war, harb. This word means war. This is war, harb. Now, this is the Muslim Studies Guidebook by Professor Muhammad Muinuddin Siddiqui of the Islamic Center, Muslim Student Association, United States and Canada, in Annapolis, Indiana. Perhaps the biggest Islamic studies project by immigrant Muslims going on around here in this area, in the Midwest, maybe in most of the United States, I don't know. But I know their project is well known and big. Now here they give the term jihad in this book. Jihad, the meaning of jihad, striving within and striving without. Didn't say holy war yet, did it? That's what it means. Striving within and striving without jihad. The Arabs have a saying.
إذا أردت أن تنجح فاجتهد. إذا أردت أن تنجح فاجتهد. إذا أردت أن تنجح إذا أردت أن تنجح فاجتهد إذا أردت أن تنجح فاجتهد إذا أردت if you want to and to succeed تنجح to be successful فاجتهد. I don't mean then make holy war. Struggle hard. If you want to be successful, then struggle hard. Strive hard. Strive. Tajtahid means strive. If you want to be successful, then strive. Struggle hard. Strive. Tajtahid. That's the verb form. This is the verb form of this word, jihad. Jihad is the noun form, and ijtahid is the verb form, or means strive. You see how local situations can give new meanings to words? Especially when you have a powerful media that reports on a local situation. So they're reporting on a local situation and a situation of the time. The Muslim God says, Jahadu, struggle, from the same word, jihad. Struggle, Jahadu, that's what God tells us in the Quran. So if we take the meaning from the atlas, from the air, what it means, then we read it as the God says, Jahadu. So we read it all the time, won't we? So God says, Jahadu, let's go back to law, let's get back at it. If we take the meaning from them, that it means holy war, that's not the case at all. The highest act of jihad, the greatest act of jihad, is to be willing to risk your life for what you know to be right. But that's not the only meaning of jihad, no. Jihad starts with the smallest thing that requires a strong effort on your part, a thing that requires for you to be strong and exert yourself a little bit. Whether it's to maintain your family in hard times, or to maintain your good morals in a bad environment. That is your jihad. That's your struggle. That's your striving. And that's the principle of our religion. The principle of our religion is struggle. Our religion doesn't teach us to give up in the face of hardship. Rather, it teaches us to meet the demand of hard times and hardship with strength and a determination not to give up. That's jihad. So that's the philosophy of jihad for us, for Muslims. That's the meaning of jihad for Muslims. That Muslims are to meet the demand in a situation or in a time, the demand on the person for strength. And for determination persistent struggle. Don't give up. Many people, when hard times come, they throw up their hands. They give up. Not quite the same kind of situation. But I heard on the news, I listened to the news about that great tragedy, great disaster. It took now over 20,000 lives, they say. A natural catastrophe. A volcano erupted and caused mudslides and everything and buried people, killed a lot of people. And they said that some of the people are saying, why would God do this to us? I wonder how many ants got destroyed. How many dogs got destroyed by the volcano? How many birds got killed by that volcano? I believe all of them had gone a long time before the lava came down. So what's wrong with the human being? Just stay where he knows it's dangerous. When God has already created the nature to give a signal, let you know, this is a dangerous place. Get out of here. But they are not any more protected by their nature that God gave them. So their attachment to their home, their attachment to their possession is so strong that they were to cling there in a dangerous spot. God says to the Muslims, if we suffer persecution under a cruel power, a government, so don't think that you will excuse yourself by saying, I couldn't be a good Muslim because of the oppressors. So God will say to you, didn't you know my earth was wide and vast? How come you didn't go elsewhere? Well, the same logic can be applied to those who are living around a volcano, knowing that it erupts ever so often, and just wait there, trusting that they're going to be all right. Huh? At least use the animal sense. The animal gets out of there. Now, I'm not putting it all on those poor people. Highly technical nations like America and Russia, they should be spending some of the billions and billions and trillions of dollars that they're spending on armaments, space investigation. They should be spending it to alert those people way beforehand and send trucks and footmen in there and help get them out of there. They could have known when they were going up. They can tell them when there's a fault that's going to cause a bad catastrophe long before it happens. So instead of blaming God, we should blame man. But look at the kind of sinners they put out, the kind of sensitizers they put out over the mass media, the powerful media. They're asking why God did this to them. So every nut, every weak-minded, half-rich person among the masses of people that heard that, whether you paid attention to it or not, it went into your ears, it touched your heart, and if you were weak, it made you weaker. So, where is God? To let that happen. Where are your senses that God gave you to wait, sit there and wait for it to happen? I never could understand why people would live around volcanoes. They have a system for killing people every year almost. And they just live there and they know they're taking a risk, So it's too much to move. They found a place for the refugees from Germany. They put them on the poor ark. Yeah, get out of it, move over, get over. Make room for these Jews. Huh? European Jews? Didn't matter. They weren't Asian. They weren't Palestinian. They were European. But Jews, just put them right in on their arms. The Cubans, the Haitians, the Koreans, Vietnamese, they find room for them to bring them from a situation that's not good for them. What about the people there in the way of the dangerous volcano. Didn't the same kind of effort be made to take them away from that threat? Put them in a better situation? Now that would be more becoming of a great nation, wise media, than to tell the people, how come God let that happen? They didn't say it as it comes from their mouth. They say it, and some of the people are asking, why would God let that happen? But the people were not asking us that. We wouldn't have heard those people ask that. That's the media putting that thought into the mind of the weak people. So maybe they're saying, okay, United States and Russia, you're the God. And the people want to know how come God let that happen. You know there ain't no God but you. Do something about it. So the atheist talking. Atheist giving the news. So this is the meaning of jihad, struggle. Struggle, persistent struggle. When it's necessary. Not only when it's necessary, continuous struggle. Continuous struggle. When there's no cause to struggle, what is the Muslim supposed to do? Find the cause. When there's no cause to struggle, your Muslim is supposed to find one. Never accept to be idle, stagnant. The Muslim is supposed to be active, dynamic society. And we go back to the verse that we read now. So verily, with every difficulty comes relief. So verily, verily, with every difficulty comes relief. Therefore, when you are free from your immediate task, still labor hard. So how am I going to labor hard if I'm free from this immediate task? I have to find another one. I have to find another one. The Muslim is not supposed to finish a job or to finish a project and then sit down and wait for another one to present itself. Soon as he finished one, he's supposed to immediately look for another worthy cause, another worthy project, another needed project, and get right back into it again and labor hard at it. If Muslims had followed this Quran, and Muhammad, the messenger of this, who brought this book, as it's supposed to be followed, the Muslims would not be a part of the undeveloped world today. They would be in the forefront of the developing nation. Yes! It's plain as day that they haven't followed the simple guidance of the Quran and the life of Muhammad the Prophet. Prophet Muhammad, if he was weak and there was a call to duty, he pulled himself up many times out of his bed, went out to meet the challenge. It is said that when he was dying of his illness, he went out to lead the prayers. And he had to be helped. They had to help him. He was too weak to walk by himself. They had to help him, but he went out. And now they got Sharia, the law. And it says, conditions for not having to go to the mosque. So if you fear the weather is such that you may catch a cold. Yes, I got it right here in the book. I'll show it to you. If the weather is such that you fear you may catch a cold, that's the reason for you not to go to the mosque. They got several other reasons why you don't, that would exempt you, excuse you from going to the mosque. Well, let those reasons stay. Let them have those allowances. But understand that those allowances are for the weak and not for the strong. I like the new expression we got. When the going gets tough, the tough gets going. That's more in accord with the Quranic principle, Islamic teachings. When the going gets tough, the tough gets going. That's what I like.